Last week I was taking Gabriel to a summer camp rendezvous point, and the week before that I was sick, and unfortunately I came down with something else early this week, but I'm feeling good, but my voice might scare you, so I'll play shy, and if you want to come up and talk to me, I'm feeling fine, most of my symptoms are gone, but if you don't want to say hi, if you want to nod from afar off, that'll be okay too. So I'd like to talk to you all about something that kind of surprised me over the last few weeks, maybe since we've been gone or since I've been back here. Something caught me off guard, and I didn't give a response like I wanted to, so I had to do some thinking and dwelling on it. Someone in my community several weeks ago came to me and tossed out an idea that it was okay for Christians to hate other people during the conversation. And I had a knee-jerk reaction like I'm seeing from some of you guys. No. But I didn't give the biblical defense that I wanted to in the moment. But then also, a few weeks after that, just this past week, 5 days ago, one of my minor celebrities that I follow on social media posted something from his page where he said, "You cannot be right with God and be able to hate people at the same time." So I like to fancy myself as a scientist. One occurrence is a fluke, but two things happening in a relative certain short distance of time, it just makes me wonder if this thought is out there in the greater Christian community that it's okay to hate other people. And that's what I want to talk about in the sermonette. I want us to kind of go over that topic in the sermonette here today. So, even though that thought might be going around in circles that are greater than our church organization, I certainly hope they're not going around our church body, but it is something that I'd like us to think about in this message. So the title of the message today is, "We're Not Allowed to Hate People as Christians." So I'll just throw that out there in case you fall asleep on me in the next 10 minutes or so. We're not allowed to hate people as Christians. God's stance on hatred didn't change from ancient Judah to modern-day Christianity. Some people in the larger Christian community might be surprised by that fact. But you don't have to turn there, but we know from Hebrews 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We also know from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, and other scriptures, that Jesus Christ is the God of the Old Testament. And God is love, brethren. We know this from 1 John 4, verse 8. Love is the opposite of hate. God is consistent here as a God of love. For instance, he codified love. It's found in Leviticus 19, verse 17 through 19. I'll just read this scripture, but Leviticus 19, verse 17 through 19 says, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him." So we see an obligation there that if we see something wrong, we need to address it, but we should not hate our brother. Verse 18 of Leviticus 19, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." God's law codifies this decree to not hate in other instances too. For your notes, you can jot down Joshua 20, verses 2 through 3, and verse 5. On that topic, it's talking about the repercussions or the consequences of committing manslaughter versus the consequences of committing murder. So Joshua 20, verse 2 through 3 says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood." An avenger of blood was a person who could take retribution for death of a family member by God's law. But this avenger of blood could not take retribution, verse 5, we see in certain instances of Joshua 20. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. So we see codified in God's law that there was leniency for accidental manslaughter events that did not involve hatred. There are admittedly some scriptures that talk about hatred in the Old Testament that can trip people up. When these scriptures are taken out of context, they can be seen to support a stance on hating others. Let's look at one such challenging passage. Will everyone please turn to Psalms 139? Psalms 139 and verse 19. Psalms 139, and we'll read verses 19 through 24. Picking up in Psalms 139, verse 19. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. This is a psalm of David, too. This is David's words. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Verse 21, do I not hate them, O Lord, who hates you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we see in the Psalm of David that he does mention that he hates the enemies of God with perfect hatred. I'm going to read to you the commentary here from the Nelson Study Bible. That's why I brought this big Bible up and not my usual smaller one. This is the Nelson Study Bible, copyright, let's see, 1997. It's been through the ringer with me. But on this passage, I think it's spot on what it's saying about this passage. David desires a world, and this is on page 1021, Psalms 139, verse 19. David desires a world in which there is no more evil, no more distraction, no more destruction. The enemies of God are David's own enemies because his life and thoughts are so closely tied to the Lord. So we see here, David was a warrior king, and he was poetically expressing to God that whoever is an enemy of God's is an enemy of David's. This is not a codified, written instruction from God on when or how Christians are supposed to hate people. And in fact, if you think about it, God's enemies, when it comes to humans, fall in and out of that condition. When people sin, they become enemy to God. So it is not a permanent thing for a person to be an enemy of God, thanks to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So it's not talking about specific people that we can identify. Matthew 5, verse 22 tells us that we shouldn't even be angry with our brother or call them a fool. So this is not a license to hate our brother. David is not just looking for sins of murder here. He's not looking for a hit list on who he can hate and kill. Just the opposite. If you look at verse 19, he's asking God to do the slaying. David is looking to God to mercifully deliver his people from evil, evil people and evil spirit beings. And this will happen. We celebrate this during the Feast of Trumpets and subsequent Day of Atonement. David is primarily expressing a warrior's solidarity with God here. If someone took Psalms 139, verse 22 out of biblical context, it may seem that God endorses us hating other people. But when we look at the Bible as a whole, the scriptures simply do not back up a doctrine where Christians are allowed to hate others. There are too many scriptures to the contrary. I already brought up Matthew 5 and verse 22, which stated that we shouldn't even call our brother a fool because we could be in danger of the hellfire. Now let's turn to a passage where this is the main focus. Let's all read 1 John 4 and verse 20 together. 1 John 4 and verse 20. First John 4 verses 20, and we'll go through 21 through the rest of the chapter. 1 John 4 verse 20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? How can he love God who he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother. So we cannot hate our brother and love our brother at the same time. We're supposed to love our brother. And we see from scriptures like Luke 8, verse 21, that this concept of a brother goes beyond just one's born siblings. Jesus Christ says in Luke 8, verse 21, my mother and my brother are these who heard the word of God and do it. So we see that context extended to the whole church. And we also know from other parables, like the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10 and verse 36, that our neighbors are people that we're supposed to show love to. And that's the parable of the Good Samaritan. It shows us that we should love people that are just not only our physical neighbors, but are those that we come in contact with, even with different backgrounds. Let's turn to a passage where Christ expressed his thoughts on this matter. Will everyone please turn to Matthew 5 and verse 43? Matthew 5. Matthew 5, and we'll read verses 43 through 48. So you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So apparently around Christ's time, a similar argument was going around as to what I heard a couple times this month. In verse 43, people thought it was okay to hate their enemies. But Christ stops that thought in its tracks with this passage. Christ said that even tax collectors get along with their friends, so we need to go beyond that thinking. In fact, we need to go beyond the thinking that we only have to love our friends. We have to learn how to love everyone, including our enemies. In doing so, we are becoming more perfect, like God our Father. Remember that Jesus Christ went from preaching this concept to living it. You can jot down in your notes Luke 23 and verse 34. This is the time period when Christ was about to be crucified and they were bidding on his garments. And at that time, on his captors who were bidding on his garments, Jesus Christ said in Luke 23 verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. This is an awesome example from our elder brother. We have Jesus Christ, our Savior, here asking for forgiveness for his tortures in one of the last moments of his life. This could have been a perfect moment for Jesus to demonstrate some type of godly hate towards his enemies, but he demonstrated godly love instead. Brethren, make no mistake. We know from Matthew 24 that hatred will be rampant at the times leading up to Christ's return. It will even affect us if we let it. Don't fall for this trap that might be going around. It is not okay for us to hate others as Christians.